It's told of Spurgeon that as he walked the stairs to the pulpit, with every step he prayed and he said, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit." So I don't know what Franco was thinking when he only designed 3 steps in a year. You should have done 30 steps, brother. But let's come to God and ask Him to bless our time together now. Oh, Father, thank you so much for the time that you've given us this evening to be together. Lord, indeed, there's no place better than to be together as your children, to hear of your goodness in our lives, to testify of your greatness, to sing your praises, to behold you. Oh Lord, thank you for this evening, yet another Sunday evening to be gathered. We ask, Father, that you would, by your Spirit, bless the preaching of your word. Lord, may you encourage and spur on us to live wholeheartedly for your glory. Oh, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably all heard by now of something called Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, and I've got no idea how it works, but what I do know is in the last 2 years, Bitcoin has increased in value in over 200%. But what is also true about Bitcoin is that it is a currency that is on a roller coaster. The one day it is up in value, the next day it drops twice as much, and the following day it's back up again. But in June 2017, we went for a dinner evening with friends of ours, and this friend of mine is a stockbroker. And so at dinner I asked him about Bitcoin. I've seen a lot of advertising. I've seen a lot of hype on the internet about this. So I asked him, and my friend said to me, "Stay away. Whatever you do, just leave it alone. He won't buy it, even if his life depends on it." So at the time, the value of one Bitcoin was around 30,000 rand. So I took my friend's advice, and I left it. But every now and again, I checked how this thing was doing, just out of curiosity. And September came, and by now, one Bitcoin was valued at 60,000 rand. So I thought to myself, well, okay, that's interesting. It doubled in value in the last 2 months. And on 17 December 2017, Bitcoin reached an ultimate high of 254,000 rand for one Bitcoin. Now that is an 800% value increase in just under 6 months. Now let's say somehow I can manage to build a little time machine, get in my time machine, and go back to that evening with that dinner evening with my friend. What do you think I would tell him? What do you think I would do the next day? So you've guessed it, right? I would probably go and take all my savings or whatever, and I would invest it in this Bitcoin. And then probably sell it the 17th of December. But my intention tonight is not to talk to you about Bitcoin, but rather, I want to invite you to invest in something else. What would you do if I told you there's an investment opportunity that you can invest in that would yield unimaginable returns? And this investment is completely guaranteed that the reward would far surpass anything you could have ever dreamed of. And this guarantee is so certain, and it's so absolutely sure, that it has the very promise of God that is backing it. Would you invest in it? I invite you tonight to invest your life in the kingdom of God. Unlike any other investment, we don't have to speculate whether this is a good investment or not. God's word promises us that we will not be disappointed with our return on investment. And if God makes a promise, you can be sure that it will come to pass. So my title for tonight's message is Living Life in Light of Eternity. Living Life in Light of Eternity. And this will be a two-part series, and we will continue with this theme, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. My aim tonight is to make us think how we are living our lives. I want us to consider, how do you spend your days upon this earth? How are we investing it? What are the driving force and the motivation behind our choices that we make and the things that we do? And here's the reason why I want us to consider these things. Because Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, we will all stand before him and we will have to give an account of what we did with our lives. If you are a Christian here today, you've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You and all that you have and all that you are belongs to Jesus Christ. He is our master. And when he returns, we will each stand before him. We will give account of all that we did with that which he entrusted to us. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is where we find the parable of the talents. And we will be reading from verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. But just to give you the context of this passage, Jesus is busy teaching his disciples about his second coming. If you look there in chapter 24, verse 3, it says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then the whole of chapter 24 and the whole of chapter 25 deals with his coming and the final judgment. Chapter 25 starts with the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus ends that parable by saying there in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And he's talking there about his return. So read with me from verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So here we have the parable of the talents. We know that Jesus told parables to illustrate a particular truth or reality. And a parable is a simple story used to convey a moral or spiritual lesson. The story is about the master and his 3 slaves, and the master is about to leave on a journey. Now, in ancient days, a journey meant being away for quite a long time. No cars, no trains, planes, buses. So it doesn't say how long he went, but we read there in verse 19 that he only returned after a long time. So this could have been weeks or months or even years. But before he leaves, he calls these 3 servants of his and he entrusted to them his property. Verse 15 is more specific, and he says that each receive a certain amount of talents from their master. Now, just to clarify the word talent here, it's not talking about a talent in the general understanding of the word that we use it today, as in a skill that somebody naturally has to do something good, like playing a musical instrument or riding a horse or whatever the case. Even though I think the application can extend to include a talent in this sense. But a talent in biblical times was simply a monetary unit. 1 talent was estimated to have been worth 20 years' wages of a laborer. So it was an enormous amount of money that the master entrusted to each of these slaves. But it says there in verse 15 that the master gave talents to each according to their ability. In other words, he knew each of these servants. He knew what they could handle and what each of their capabilities were. And he entrusted to them accordingly. And then he set off and went on his journey. But the picture is clear, isn't it? This is a picture of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and us, his servants. And just as the man in the parable departed on a journey, so too Jesus has departed to go and prepare a place for us. And just as the Master entrusted to his servants his property and talents according to their ability, so too Jesus has entrusted to each of us talents, gifts, and resources to be used for His kingdom. And like I mentioned, our title is Living Life in Light of Eternity. And I want to look tonight at four principles to live our lives in light of eternity. Four principles to live our lives in light of eternity so that when Jesus comes back, we might be able to present Him with a return on that which He entrusted to us. So our first principle for living life in light of eternity is deliberateness. Deliberateness. Verse 16 says, immediately the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. Now let's just pause there for a moment and consider these two servants. Firstly, I want you to note that in the beginning of verse 16, it says, immediately. The ESV says, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them. Now, do you see their earnestness? Do you see their deliberateness? They wasted no time. They went at once and started trading with these talents. And I realize more and more that if you want something to be done in your life, you need to be deliberate about it. Otherwise, it won't happen. And this applies to God's kingdom as well. Unless you don't make it your aim to please Him, unless you are intentionally in seeking His glory, you won't seek it at all. These two servants took action immediately. They knew their master entrusted to them his property, and they knew he was coming back, and so they wasted no time to be about their master's business. They were deliberate, intentional, focused. My question to you tonight is, are you like these two servants? Are you busy multiplying that which God has entrusted to you? Are you actively seeking to use those things that He has given you to glorify Him? It doesn't happen automatically. You need to be deliberate if you want to multiply your talents for the Lord. And it's actually not that complicated to do. I want to suggest the following little exercise that I found very helpful that you can maybe do during the week if you've got a gap. But just take some time and think about those things that God has given you. Often when we take the time, it becomes very clear what those things are. And each of us, our lists would look completely different to one another. But go and write it down. And your list might include things like family, your studies, work, my finances, my time. And then take each of these categories and evaluate yourself. Prayerfully, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, you've entrusted to me a precious family, my wife, my children. Am I being a godly husband? Am I being a faithful dad, bringing up my children in your ways? Am I doing the things that you called me to do? You can take your work. Lord, you've given me a job. Thank you so much. Am I, the way that I work, am I being an example to my colleagues? Through this work, you've given me an income. You've provided all that I need. Lord, but am I honoring you with my finances? If you may be a student, you can, Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to study. And for 8 months of the year, I'm on holiday. Thank you, Lord, for the free time that I have. And ask the Lord, Lord, am I being faithful with the time that you've entrusted to me? But go and evaluate these things in your life and see if you are intentionally trying to transform it into an act of worship. Let me give you a small example. I call it the KFC ice cream principle. Now, for something like 20 Rand, I can be the most awesomest dad alive to my 5 kids. So every now and again after work, I will get to the garden and I'll see my kids doing whatever they do in the garden, messing it up most of the time. And I will just walk straight to the car and I'll say something like, I guess I'm the only one going for ice cream. And then next thing you just see these kids, and they run, ice cream, ice cream. And we'll get in the car and I'll take them to KFC or to McDonald's or whatever, one of these places. We'll get them each a little ice cream cone, something like 2 Rand 50 or 3 Rand 50. And even with all the 5 of them, it's always less than 20 Rand. And every time I think to myself, this is incredible. The amount of joy that this brings to my children and what it actually costs me is completely disproportionate. And then I think, but hang on. Is there not a way that I can take this principle and apply it to other areas of my life? Pastor Tim regularly encourages us to go and pray through the church directory. It's something so small, and yet you've got the opportunity to live a family or a person in our church body in the very throne room of God. Brothers and sisters, don't underestimate the ripple effect of one small act of kindness. And as you do this, you are busy multiplying. You are taking that one aspect of your life and you are intentionally trying it to grow it. The point is, you have to be deliberate about it. And just to clarify, it's not being deliberate in building our own kingdoms. So often we make these detailed plans and we are eager and intentional, but it's for our own selfish ambitions. Our motives and our reasons and our drive is rooted in advancing our own kingdoms. And you end up using the very things that God has entrusted to you, not for His glory, but for your own glory. So we not only need to be deliberate, but we need to ask God to purify our motives. Lord, help me to truly, truly seek your glory alone. And the beauty of the fact is, it's like John Piper says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. When we make God's glory our aim, when we start to be deliberate in living for Him and His kingdom, then we become truly satisfied and happy. There's no tension here. You were made to pursue God's glory, and as you do it, you become perfectly satisfied. There was also a third servant. Verse 18 reads, but he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, we will deal with this guy, Lord willing, next week. But he simply took his talent and he buried it. He wasted it. But more about this next week. So let's move on to our second principle for living life in light of eternity. And that is perseverance. Perseverance. Verse 19 says, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. As we already mentioned, this could have been weeks or months or even years. But the point is, it's a long time. And seeing that these guys with the 2 talents and the 5 talents managed to multiply it, we can assume that it was a long time, unless they invested it in Bitcoin. But now the master is back, and he's about to take account for what his servants did while he was away. Again, this is a picture of reality. Just as the master came back after a long time to settle accounts with his servants, so too Jesus will come back to settle accounts with us. And we too are waiting for his return. And we are called to persevere, because this waiting might seem and feel like a very long time. And the temptation is to give up. I don't know if you can identify this, but I remember well that first year that the Lord just saved me. It's like, oh, this is so fantastic, Lord. I'm so thankful. All my sins are forgiven. And here am I, sent me, and full of zeal for the Lord. And then the second year come, and this is just incredible, Lord. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. And a couple of years pass, and 5 years pass maybe, and you're like, okay, this is fantastic, but this battle with sin is real. There's persecution. There's temptation. This is quite a heavy life, this Christian life. And 10 years pass, and you're just like, Lord, where are you? I thought you would have come by now. And you realize this Christian life calls for perseverance. We need to faithfully persevere as we wait for Jesus' return, being about his work, and not give up and say it's taking too long. Remember what Jesus said about the unfaithful slave? Look there back in Matthew 24, verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, we need to persevere. Hang in there. Jesus is coming. And the only reason why Jesus has not yet come back is because there is still work to be done. There is still souls to be saved. The third principle for living life in light of eternity is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's look from verse 20. This is now the scene as the servants stand before the master, ready to give their account. Verse 20 reads, the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now let's consider the master's response. Firstly, have you noticed that both of these two slaves received the same response from their master, even though the one gave 10 talents and the other only 4? And the point is, the Lord's not interested in the abundance of your yield, whether you've yielded more than what I've yielded, or this guy more than this lady, or whatever the case. No, rather, he's looking for faithfulness. He says, well done, good and faithful slave. Remember that it says there in the beginning, the master gave talents each according to their ability. He knows each of us intimately, and he works with us individually. So we can stop comparing ourselves with one another. Rather, are you faithful with God, with what God has uniquely entrusted to you? Secondly, he says, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. This is one of God's kingdom principles. The one who is faithful in a little will also be faithful in much. Luke 16, Jesus says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? I think oftentimes we would love to see more fruit in our lives, or we would love to live more for the glory of God. And we've got these great and big aspirations for Him. But yet, are we faithful with the little things that He already entrusted to us? That passage in Luke 16 speaks about money. How are you spending your money? Are you generous? Are we looking for ways to advance the gospel with our money? Or are we just hoarding it for ourselves? If you are stingy with a small income, you'll be stingy with a big income. So let's start here. Let's be faithful with those things that He entrusted to us, even though it might seem sometimes insignificant. And then we will be ready to be used by Him in greater measures. So the third principle for living life in light of eternity was faithfulness. And just as a side point on the commendation of this master, he says, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And brothers and sisters, we've got absolutely no idea what is waiting for us. The master says, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. The ESV writes, you've been faithful over a little. Excuse me? As if 5 talents is a little. It was the equivalent of the guy's whole entire life earnings. And yet, the master says, this was a little. This was just a little. I will put you over much. The glories that is awaiting us, brothers and sisters, we've got no idea. The fourth and final principle for living life in light of eternity is expectantly. Live expectantly. The master says, enter into the joy of your master. Brothers and sisters, have you any idea what joy will be ours when we enter eternity? Have you any idea what joy will be ours when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, when we are in the presence of God day in and day out, worshiping Him without sin or temptation perfectly, that joy is coming. Joy eternal. I know that when you look around you, we are faced with many uncertainties, especially here in South Africa. And the temptation is to start turning inward and only cover for your own wickets. But I plead with you, do not lose sight of your eternal hope. As Tim has said in the beginning, this is not our home. We are merely passing through. This life is meant for us to make preparation for our eternal home. So milk it for all that it's worth, and lay up and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Invest your life in the kingdom of God. We've looked tonight at four principles to live your life in light of eternity. Deliberateness, perseverance, faithfulness, and expectantly. May the Lord grant us strength to put these things into action as we live our lives in light of His return. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much once again for your word, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for these words that you've given us, Lord, to spur us on to live for you and for your kingdom. Lord, to be faithful as we wait for you and for your coming. Lord, I pray that you would each strengthen us this coming week. Oh Lord, as we live our lives in this world, Lord, help us, Lord, not to lose sight. Help us not to get sidetracked by the things of this world. Oh Lord, but may our motivation, may our drive be your glory and your kingdom. Oh Lord, until you come, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.